A special word of welcome to the media for joining us. You can actually sit closer if you want to. You don't have to sit so far. And I want to say welcome to all the students from Attack the Future. It's fantastic to have you here. And all staff, thank you for making some time to be with us. Obviously, you are the important people making this organization work. And thank you very much for being here. The 27, what we are going to address today, if we look at our agenda, we're going to go over a general overview. Can we put this a little bit softer? Sounds quite loud. Then we're going to look at our different value drivers. We're going to go through, we've got four value drivers. It's our quality South African portfolio, our strategic investment into mass, our competitive edge and unique value proposition, which is our waterfall development, our rest of Africa. I'll hand over to Mel to give us an overview of our financial results, and then we'll look at some benefits beyond the bottom line. I'll come in a conclusion, and then we'll open for question and answers thereafter. Hopefully, we can answer all the questions. The 2017 financial year was a challenging year, and a lot of market fluctuation and political uncertainty. Attack's growth was negatively impacted by the following. The strengthening of the rand, which has caused forex losses of 243 million. Losses on our market-to-market adjustment of swaps of about 98 million and an impairment on our African assets of 100 million. We've lost 116 million with the disposal of Nova Aventus, which was one of our legacy assets. On the positive side, we've seen positive growth from our South African portfolio. We have completed four properties in the waterfall development, and MAS has delivered excellent results. We took a hard look at our current strategy and took note of the lessons learned to date. We implemented a revised strategy with a more focused approach. We simplified the business model and created a platform for future growth around our four value drivers, as I mentioned, our SA portfolio, our strategic investment in MAS, waterfall development, and then our rest of Africa investment. We also took the next step in the journey with the intention of converting into a REIT. In this transition phase, we have recycled a total of 1.9 billion of assets and lowered our existing debt. Our adjusted NAV per share is currently 22 rand and 59 cents. Our adjusted NAV per share has increased 3.2% from the last financial year. By using the market value for our investment into MAS, the year-on-year growth is 6.3%. The three-year CAGR on our adjusted NAV per share is 11.9%, and since inception, our CAGR has been 28.3%. Positive growth of 17.9% in our rental income and cash generated from operations increased by 23.4% to a total of 1 billion rand. We have completed a total of 498,000 square meters of the waterfall development. Our adjusted operating cost is 0.46% of our assets under management. And this includes our development team. If you appoint an external asset manager, the cost of that would be about 0.5%. So there is definitely savings having an internalized team. We recycled 1.9 billion, as I mentioned before, and we reduced our group's gearing to 57.1%. A tax investment increased by 18.8% to a total of 3.5 billion. That is using the market value. We equity account for this investment on our books. And for the 2017 financial year, our investment in Africa has shown negative growth of 8.8%. Property is a long-term investment. Therefore, a tax takes long-term view on our investment decisions. And since inception in 2005, our CAGR on our adjusted NAV per share has been 28.3%. We do not compromise on the quality of our portfolio, and therefore we prefer to develop our own properties. The cyclic nature is very evident in the orange line on the screen, and this indicates the three-year rolling CAGR for our adjusted NAV per share. Since 2009, our equity base has increased by 350% and our gross assets by 450%. We have received positive feedback on the revised strategy and the planned conversion to a REIT. Since the revised strategy was communicated, there has been an increase in our share price, as you also can see on the graph. Our current share price is still 22% below our adjusted NAV per share, and there's a lot of value still on the table. If we look at our strategic execution highlights, I think the most important one for this year was our revised strategy and the intention to convert to a REIT. As I mentioned before, it has always been part of the journey to convert some other time. Mall of Africa has been open for 1 year. We recycled the 1.9 billion of assets, which was included in that is the disposal of our investment in Cyprus and Serbia, our investment in Pemba and Mozambique. We also sold some UK student accommodation, Bishop's Gate. We sold 8 industrial properties to a JV with Equitas, and we formed a strategic alliance with Equitas with this transaction. The Altec building in Waterfall, our investment in the club development in Pretoria, and the last but not least, the Car Street development in Newtown. We have been included in the FTSE and the JSE Responsible Index Investment Index. We have appointed Jackie van Niekerk as our Chief Operating Officer to take over some operational and asset management responsibilities from myself, and this has enabled me to focus more on Waterfall and some other strategic matters. Imagine a company that manages, develops, and controls a city. Well, that company is Attacq. Our vision is to become the premier property fund in South Africa, and this will be achieved by a focused approach, Waterfall as our competitive edge, and our quality properties investments, which include our strategic investment in MAS. Since listing, we have completed a total of 32 developments, of which 26 of these developments has been in Waterfall. Our gross assets has increased by 80% to a total of 27.1 billion rand. We have recycled during this period a total of 4.5 billion of assets. It was always part of the Attacq journey to convert to a REIT, and the intention is to convert in the 2019 financial year. Our maiden dividend will be payable at the end of the next financial year. And part of this process is actually to sell some of the mature and non-core assets and to restructure our debt to interest-only facilities. We believe the best measurement for a property company is total return. We have simplified the business model with a focused approach on our 4 value drivers. Attacq's value proposition is very unique given the Waterfall pipeline, and therefore we believe valuing Attacq is the sum of the parts. Our investment in our quality South African portfolio, strategic investment into MAS, provides income and capital return, whereas the Waterfall development in the rest of Africa provides only capital return. Investors should use our targeted distribution per share to determine the value of our SA portfolio and MAS, and then you will need to add to that the NAV or the value you put on our Waterfall pipeline, as well as our investment in the rest of Africa. This methodology is already being used by some of the analysts in the market. If we look at our first value driver, this is a total of 18.1 billion rand. It is 66.1% of our gross assets. And I want to hand over to Jackie to give us an overview of our SA portfolio.
Thank you, Morne, and good morning, everyone. I won't keep you too long. I won't be too long, as here's some tired auditors and financial teams. We got SMSs at 10 o'clock last night where the financials were completed. So well done, guys. If we look at our portfolio, as Morne said, it's 18 billion rand. Our SA portfolio has got key attributes that we always focus on. And I think looking at the composition, that's very important understanding what is our South African portfolio all about. We've got preferred shopping centers in destinations of high density cities. Our ownership in dominant precincts with a distinguished by quality and by location. We've got a balanced tenant mix, not only in the shopping centers, but I think a balanced tenant mix within our office portfolio as well. And we've got a strong internal management team that keeps the ball rolling from a day-to-day management style. If we look at our vacancies in our portfolio, we've got a 3% vacancy reported for this year. It's 0.6% higher than last year, but subsequent to year-end, we've reduced the vacancies by further lets at Mall of Africa, the Allendale Building, and Waterfall Corner. The focused area is in our portfolios in Majestic, Brooklyn Bridge, and as well as Newtown Junction. Our WALE for the year is reported 6.4 years, which is a very strong WALE within a portfolio of this size and nature. Our focus is to lengthen our leases with our tenants. We are currently concluding two leases with Oricon and Adams & Adams for further 12-year leases respectively. Our tenant arrears of 2.5% is exceptionally low. This is a focused approach, day-to-day management, that our property management team focuses on vetting our tenants on a day-to-day basis, ensuring our risk is mitigated from an exposure point of view to our tenants. The non-GLA income has increased substantially due to the inclusion of Mall of Africa. Our rental escalation rate of 7.5% is good. We would like it more, but hey, that's a tough negotiation with our tenants on a day-to-day basis. Our gross rental of 175 rand per square meter, if we look at the composition of the portfolio, predominantly focused on retail and our A-grade nature of our office portfolio, we firmly believe our rentals are conservative and attack and weather the storm with any rental reversion rates within our portfolio. Highlights and focus areas for us in attack. As Morne has said in his presentation, we have got a focused approach. From an asset and property management point of view, our focused approach is our tenants and our shoppers. We make it our business to understand your business. We focus on what is your needs, and we collaborate with our tenants to unlock value not only for the landlord, but also for our tenants as well. Through this, I believe this focused approach has delivered the results for this year. Our tenant retention, low vacancies, and high collection rate. Our property expense ratio remained also healthy, and we feel that this can only improve over time. As the Waterfall City expands, we believe the economy of scale benefit will pass through to our tenants, but not only, it will keep attack relevant and competitive with market rental rates in the future. A successful partnership with LaunchLab. Now the question is, what is LaunchLab? LaunchLab is a company that is set up by Stellenbosch University. It is a company that focuses on development of entrepreneurs and startup companies. Last year, we launched a retail challenge with them, asking them for all innovation in the retail sector. We wanted innovation tech, business models, business processes. How do we improve our offering in the retail sector? What were we amazed? All this talent within South Africa, and ATTAC is currently incubating three of those initiatives within ATTAC. What is our focus areas for the year coming in attack? Our focus areas is fundamental basic management, consistency, and a proactive approach on every deal that we do on a daily basis, allowing the innovation tech to infiltrate in our business, offering our looking at rigorous asset evaluation, continuously evaluating our assets, sustainable focus on the cost of occupation of our tenants, as we are quite aware of the rising cost of electricity and water and the utility charges. Market condition focus, remaining close to our tenants, ensuring that we understand their business model as said, mitigating our risk and responding quickly to changes that the market offers. Mall of Africa. Not the first year of trading, it was the first year of shopping at the Mall of Africa. The Mall of Africa's first year of trading, we're quite happy with. An average trading density of 2,564 rand per square meter. This translates into a rent-to-turnover ratio of 9.82%. Comparing this to other super-regional benchmarking of between 9 and 10%, we are very, very happy with the performance of the first year of trade with Retail Mall of Africa. And we expect the trade to pick further up with all the tenants and inflow with PwC, Deloitte, and the other offices that will be developed. Our focus has also been more entertainment. We recently hosted SA Fashion Week. Our focus is also kids' activation within our center, and then further recreational services in the park. Our team's quick response to tenant changes, I think this is quite exceptional. The asset management and property management team within the teams have understood to right-size tenants at the right time, diversify our tenant offering, and with that, we are very proud to introduce new brands into our mall. Bolton Footwear, Hurley, Michael Kors, Superdry, Toys R Us, and other tenants to come. If we look at our trading density growth year on year for the year, it's been a tough year. Our portfolio turnover to rent ratio has been 7.76 for the year. Brooklyn Mall is 2% down due to the expected headwinds with Mainland Wayne and Mainland Shopping Center opening. Garden Route Mall has been a busy year, 3% up. We expanded the mall with a further Woolies offering and also upgraded the bathrooms. Glenfair Shopping Center, Debbie, I still don't know what the age of that building is. Between 40 to 50 years old. 68. So there you've got it. That's the age. This shopping center is quite amazing. Trading from strength to strength. In a high-dense Linwood Road of overtraded shopping centers, we see this as a proactive asset management can deliver long-term growth for our shareholders. Moira Mall remained flat as Mortlasana Mall opened up, and we are currently expanding the Woolworths offering. Newtown Junction remains a challenge as the challenging market conditions. We've thought about revising our tenant strategy to complement the inner city mall. Waterfall Corners trade was down due to the loss of tenants, but we opened up Hussar Grill in Monterey during the last few months. In the midst of an ever-changing environment, with challenges with online shopping and retail being a challenge for us during the course of the future, I want to leave you with a note. Websites cannot give a shopper goosebumps, but bricks and mortar can. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jackie. Well done to the asset management team. Obviously, without all your contribution, this won't be possible, and well done. If we look at our second value driver, it's our strategic investment into Mass. This investment, as at financial year end, was valued at 2.7 billion. That's the book value. It is about 10% of our gross assets. We currently hold 30.6% in the Mass investment. In future, Mass will be our only entry point into the European markets. The investment in Nova Ventures has been sold. Since year end, we have received 95% of the proceeds. The balance we will receive after the company has been winded up. One other investment that we still have is the JV with Artisan in the UK. We have decided not to invest further capital into this JV, and we will exit this investment over the next few years. As I mentioned, the market value of our investment in Mass is 3.5 billion compared to the book value of 2.7 billion. That means 800 million is not reflected in our net asset value. To date, Mass has delivered on its distribution targets, which they've put out in 2016. Over the last financial year, the net asset value per share of Mass has increased by 10% in euro terms. The revised strategy includes now the whole of Europe. The Mass management team primarily focus on Western Europe. That's on both acquisitions and developments. And the expanded strategy into Central and Eastern Europe is driven by the Prime Capital team via two JVs. The Prime Capital team is headed up by Martin Slabbert and Viktor Seminov. They have two JV models, one for new developments and the other to acquire properties with further upside potential. The Mass team is also actively managing its existing portfolio, selling mature assets, and redeploying that capital in accretive opportunities. This is one of their new acquisitions, is the Nova Park Shopping Center. If we look at the mass pipeline, this is very attractive. If you specifically look at the developments, secure development pipeline is 756 million euros of pipeline. The major projects in this pipeline is the 80,000 square meter Imonica development in Slovenia, 28,000 square value center in Romania, and the 19,000 square meter new offices in New Waverley in Edinburgh for the UK government. They have a further potential pipeline of around 230 million euros. They're also working on an acquisition pipeline. They've secured to date 10 million euros, and they are working on a further 225 million euros of future pipeline in acquisitions. We believe this will give a lot of growth in earnings in the years to come. Our third value driver is our strategic investment into the waterfall development. This is 14.1% of our gross assets. As at year end, it was valued at 3.8 billion rand. 1.8 billion is the value of the land and the infrastructure. The further 1.8 billion is the developments under construction, and the balance of 140 million is our 20% stake in the Sanlam JV. It's critical for us to unlock maximum value from the waterfall development, which we believe are very conservatively valued. Focus and alignment of interest is critical to the successful development of waterfall, and therefore we have decided to internalize our development team. ATTAC also retained the flexibility to do JVs with the specialists in certain areas, for example, residential, as well as with other tenants who have access to tenants we don't have. The development team is now 11 people with more than 139 years of experience. We also have appointed two dedicated deal makers in the team. As I mentioned before, I think this is quite an important slide to look at. We have completed a total of 498,000 square meters. What this graph shows is when we have started with new developments, and it indicates when those developments went into the ground. This graph specifically excludes Mall of Africa because we want to focus more on the commercial and industrial tenants we are currently working on. We secured the rights with the Mia family in 2008, and we only started with our first building in 2012. In 2013, we secured two big tenants, namely Cell C and Group 5, and since then there was a gradual slowdown in our pipeline. The line on the graph indicates where we have internalized our development team, and what is very positive is the new team has secured a pipeline already of 105,000 square meters. What we've then done for the 2018 and 2019 pipeline is we've done a probability adjustment on that. So based on the status of the inquiry, we put a certain weighting to that, varying from 0.25 to 100%. And the actual inquiries we're currently busy with is 388 square meters. With the probability adjustment, we're looking at 220,000 square meters for the 2018. And that is to start in 2018. Completion most probably will happen a year, 2 years from that specific date it starts. For 2019, we've got 26,000 squares that we are currently busy with. If we use a value of plus minus 15,000 rand per square meter, the capex for our existing potential pipeline is around 3.7 billion. And the potential development profit is in a region of about 440 million. And that is also not reflected in our current NAV. If you look at our waterfall development, it's a major development. I think it's very important to understand, and I'm actually going to show on this map. Just to orientate everyone, this is the Allendale interchange. This is the Buccleuch interchange. And all the land that's effectively highlighted is the land we control as ATTAC. If we look specifically on the eastern side. This is what we call the waterfall logistics hub. This is more industrial and commercial type of developments. And on the western side is the new CBD we want to create, which will be the CBD of Waterfall, and we refer to that as the Waterfall City. We have completed already Mall of Africa, and as a lot of people say, shopping centers are normally the catalyst that starts new CBDs, and that's very evident in Sandton City, Canal Walk, as well as Gateway. And as mentioned by Jackie, when we as we densify the CBD, that benefit will only come through with our trading, and specifically on Mall of Africa. I believe Waterfall has got much more to offer compared to the other examples I've mentioned just before. I think our big advantage is the central location. It's right in the middle of Gauteng, which is the financial hub of South Africa, and it's within a 25-kilometer radius of most suburbs. It's an infill development. What that means is the whole surrounding area has been developed up to now, and it's only Waterfall that effectively need to be developed. It's got already excellent accesses with the free-flowing Allendale interchange, and then a very important route that's going to open up east to west is what we refer to as the K60. That is under planning. Hopefully will start early next year. And when that opens up, obviously it will alleviate a lot of congestion on the rest of the road network. And it will unlock what we refer to as the Sanlam JV, as well as it will give a lot of benefits for Capital City, because that whole thing will be, site will effectively be exposed at that point in time. Waterfall is excellent for corporate consolidation, given the central location. And a weaker economy is definitely playing in our favor. The advantages of consolidation are the following. Due to efficiencies, the amount of lettable space that is required reduces for the corporate. Green buildings bring the utility cost down, and reduction in the operational cost due to less staff, less reception areas, and the like. Positive impact on the culture of the organization. What we have decided, given the size of Waterfall, is to have the two focus areas, namely Waterfall City and what we call the Waterfall Logistics Hub. The vision we have set for ourselves for Waterfall City is to create an integrated city that works. And the vision for the Waterfall Logistics Hub is Gauteng's logistic hub of choice. We have a total of 608,000 square meters already serviced of the remaining 1 million square meters. We are also currently busy with an application for further bulk, and we don't have the right to increase our bulk on Waterfall. We're busy with a further 1,900 residential units that we want to develop here, and that is not reflected in our valuation at this point in time. And it is actually a big advantage for us. What we're also busy doing is jointly with the Mias and Baldwin. Baldwin is actually developing quite a lot of residential here. They're planning to do about 20,000 of residential in that area there. Baldwin is also busy with about 1,900 units on what they call the old polo fields. We want to do a new Gautrain station here. And if we are successful, the intention of attack is to do a monorail or a tram from that into the city. And that will give us the opportunity to actually bulk up Waterfall even further. A big economic benefit Waterfall will also give to the Gauteng economy is during the construction phase, it will create the opportunity for about 27,000 jobs, and during the operational phase, about 60,000 jobs. I'm going to go quickly through some of our developments under construction. We've got the Gateway West building that was completed August 2017. We have a number of inquiries on this building. Half of the building we have let in principle, and we're busy with negotiations on that. If you look at the K101 warehouse, this is a speculative development. What we have done, this was the site right next to Massmart. We used the optimal warehouse we can put down on that site. We have started construction. We are talks with two potential tenants, and there's also a potential buyer for the whole development. That will be completed September 2017. I go back. PwC Tower and Annex. This total development is 45,000 square meters, opening February of next year. Potential users, 4,000, right on the doorstep of Waterfall, Mall of Africa, and that will definitely improve the trading during the week. BMW, that we already started handing over to BMW, completion November 2017. What is very unique about BMW, given the central location, it has ticked all the boxes for the center of gravity for the distribution to all the dealerships in Gauteng. And that is the benefit of Waterfall. Given this location, a lot of retailers alike are seeing it a perfect place to distribute from. Mass build extension. We have built, the initial phase was about 36,000 square meters. We're adding about a 9,000 to that. The end box will be a DC in a region of 45,000 square meters. We are also talking to Massbuilt to potentially extend their lease for a further 15 years. Corporate campus, this is a JV with Zenprop. This is outside of Waterfall City. And what I mean outside of Waterfall City, it's not sitting in the city itself. It is located opposite Netcare. It's going to be a office park, very similar than the Maxwell office park. It's going to consist of between 5 to 6 buildings, depending on tenant demand. We have started the first building, completion November, got quite a few of inquiries, and hopefully the building is filled, and then we will start with the next building. The Atria, the first residential apartments that's going to be in Waterfall, 120 residential apartments. We're doing a 4-star hotel and 3 office buildings with a total of 15,000 square meters. We have started earthworks, and the residential and the hotel will be completed first quarter 2019. Waterfall Point, we have realized there's definitely a need for sectional title offices in Waterfall. This is the only product we haven't offered as yet. This is located opposite a Waterfall Corner. We have sold out the whole development. Most of the development was bought by one user and another user, so there's effectively 2 users that bought the whole development, and completion date October 2018. Deloitte's, very good example again of a corporate consolidation. Deloitte's is situated right on the corner here, there, and that will start end of this year, beginning of the next calendar year, and the completion first quarter of 2020. If you just take PwC and Deloitte, you're talking about 8,000 to 9,000 potential shoppers in the immediate catchment area of Mall of Africa. Future developments, the Sanlam JV. We are currently busy with a number of transactions that effectively are going to, and I'll touch on it just on the next slide, will fill up all of this industrial space. So what is very good about the Sanlam JV, it gives us the flexibility to cater for further inquiries. Attack owns currently 20% of this development. The other 80% is owned by Sanlam. Attack has the right to increase its shareholding from 20 to 50%. What we also got the benefit for, we are the appointed development manager, so we will earn the fees on that, plus the appointed asset manager of the completed properties. There is a bridging loan that has been or still need to be approved by Sanlam, and that will actually improve our return on equity on this investment. If you look at our future developments, as I mentioned, these are specifically relating what we call the logistics precinct or Pocket 9, and the distribution campus, as we refer to Pocket 8. On Pocket 8, we are busy with 3 inquiries of about 13,000 square meters. All those deals has been approved in principle, and hopefully it will be finalized in the next month or so. If you look at Pocket 9, or the Waterfall Logistics Precinct, we are busy with 3 inquiries that effectively will fill up that whole box there. The one we are busy with, final negotiations. Hopefully, we are in lease negotiations, so that one is definitely over the line. The other two inquiries, we are the last of the two, we one of the last two bidders on that, and that will obviously also be awarded quite soon. Our fourth value driver is our investment into the rest of Africa. This is 4.5% of our total gross assets. These properties are held by a number of structures with different shareholders. There's currently 7 operating malls in Africa, and I believe our portfolio is one of the best portfolios in Africa. The Kumasi Mall was opened in April of this year, and a big advantage of our portfolio is that we have additional bulk on all the sites to cater for future expansion, which is something that is critical specifically in the African markets. 4 of these malls are very defensive assets, namely Manda Hill, Accra Mall, Ikeja City Mall, as well as the Mall of Namibia. Our focus remains to actively manage these assets. We believe there is still some volatility in the short term and definitely see some upside in the medium to long term. There is also a contractual liquidity event in the At Africa portfolio in 2020. I want to hand over now to Melt to give us an overview of our financials. Thanks.
Good morning. Morning to the media colleagues, Deloitte, and then the students sitting here. Welcome. Put it here. I've got 8 slides, so I'm not going to be that long. If you look at the slides, they're fairly balance sheet focused. Then there's a couple of slides also on the income statement explaining the financial performance. What we have done with the slides, we have changed the disclosure to be in line with the 4 key values. So I will unpack that. But if you go to the SENS announcement, there's quite a detailed segmental analysis where you can look at the performance on an asset-by-asset basis. So if we look at the first slide, is what we refer to as the equity bridge. So we have disclosed it for the last 2 financial years. So if you look at June 16, and I'm going to talk about the data at the top of the table, so that's the nominal terms and not the asset or the value per share. So the opening equity base was 13.48 billion. Then we have issued 1.4 million of shares. And those shares had a certain strike price. So we as a TAC have received 13.8 million rand for that. If you look at the next two sets of data, so it's the 630.2 million that talks to our net profit after tax. But if you want to reconcile it back to the income statement, then you need to deduct 129 from the 630, and you need to make certain adjustments to eliminate the 50% outside shareholder in Newtown. The foreign currency translation reserve talks to the strengthening of the rand over the last financial period. And then the 27.8 million relates to new share options, which we have issued in October last year. So if you look on year on year, June 16 to June 17, Mornay has touched on that. The NAV per share and then also our equity base has increased with 3.2%. If you turn the clock back to December 16, for December, the 6 months ending December 16, we had a negative growth of 2.4%. Therefore, in the last 6 months, we had a positive growth of 5.7%, hence the total year growth of 3.2%. If we go to the next slide, which is the income statement, there we have put some narratives down explaining the movements in the different value drivers. So we have listed the 4 value drivers, the SA portfolio, MAS, Waterfall, the rest of Africa, and then the balance of assets, which we can't classify as one of those 4 key value drivers. We've just split between SA and global. If you look at And maybe again, if we go back to December 16, so for December 16, the 6 months ended, the net profit was only 3.5 million. So in the last 6 months, we've generated profit of over 460 million. So if you look at the Quality SA portfolio, that movement from June 16 to June 17, so the movement for the year performance, it's an increase of just under 200 million. It relates predominantly to us completed more buildings in 17, and then also the Mall of Africa, which we have completed towards the end of the 16 year. So included in the 16 year, we only had May and June as operating months for the mall, and then this year we had a full 12 months. So the net rental income, as per my comments, increased with 200 million, and then our fair value adjustments were relatively constant between 16 and 17. If you look at Mass, Mass generated after tax profit of 106 million for us from an accounting viewpoint. Mornay mentioned that we are equity accounting for Mass, so we don't reflect Mass at a fair value or market value. So that 106 million is then a portion of the movement in their equity base. Mass has also distributed dividends twice in the financial year, and we've received a dividend of 105 million. So the 106 is relatively on par with the 105 million dividend we've received. The waterfall, the third key value driver, waterfall development, you will notice quite a substantial reduction from 16 to 17. Just included in 16 was a 450 million rand fair value adjustment or development profit on the Mall of Africa. And then in the last financial year, we've taken a more conservative view on the value of our development rights and infrastructure, and therefore we've accounted for close to 60 million rand loss. And again, it's an after-tax loss. The rest of Africa, we've taken some pain. We took some pain on At Africa, and we also took some pain on Ikeja City Mall. And that's why, if you go back to, I think, the second slide Mornay has presented, we saw an 8.8% decrease in value in our Africa portfolio. And it's not that we've exited or that we've sold some of our investments. That 8.8%, it's due to a lower value in rand terms. The other assets is an improvement from 220 to 130. It's due to the fact that we have settled some debt on a head office level. The 130 is fairly in line with our annual, I call it manco or head office or asset management cost of about 10 million a month. So that's in line with that. And then global, we also took some pain, and that relates predominantly to the impairments we've taken on Stenham. Fortunately, we have exited Stenham or Nova Eventus investment, and like Mornay said, we've received 95% of our 197 million. Okay, so if you go to the next slide, it's our balance sheet. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this slide because I've got detailed slides talking to the balances. You will immediately notice the huge decrease in investments from 6.2 to 5.1, and that's on the back of ATTAC exiting Cyprus and Serbia. Included in the 1.9 billion for other assets, it's our straight line lease debtors of 800 million, our intangible assets of about 360, trade and other receivables of 170, and then cash of 450 million. Again, there's a 7.6% reduction on our bank funding or our interest-bearing debt. Again, that's on the back of exiting Cyprus and Serbia. So we've used most of those funds to reduce our debt. Including in non-interest-bearing borrowings is our deferred tax at 1.9 billion. And if you look at the growth then on a year-by-year basis, it's 3.2%. This slide is we took the balance sheet, we took the total gross assets, and we took our equity base, and we've split it into the four key drivers. And then the balance of the assets, which we haven't allocated, we split that between SA and global. Mass, you will notice that it's from a equity accounting viewpoint, it's flat, 2.722 billion, went up to 2.729 billion. But the market value of MAS in the last year, so that's on the back of a share price, has increased substantially. That 2.7 billion at the end of June had a market value of 3.5 million, which then is an indicator that MAS is trading at a premium to the NAV. If you look at the information at the bottom, the NAV, you will notice that for global assets, well, the balance of a global asset, you will notice there was a 1.4 reduced to 300 million, and again, that's Serbia and Cyprus. Included in the other assets on a gross assets basis for global, that 344, it's 190, or close to 200 million refers to Nova Aventis, and then the balance refers to Artisan. Like Mornay said, Artisan, the intention is not to increase our investment. The intention is rather to exit the investment over time. Okay, the next slide talks to the movement in our investment properties. We have sold a number of assets. In the beginning of a financial year, we've done a JV with Equites, where we've sold 8 completed industrial buildings to Equites that had a value of plus minus 820 million. And we've also sold our 50% stake in the Altec building. Then CapEx, so that's what we have invested predominantly in Waterfall, and then also some CapEx on our existing portfolio, for instance, the expansions on Garden Route Mall. It's also included in that 1.1, but the 1.1 predominantly talks to CapEx on the PwC Tower, the Allendale building, and then the Amrod building. And then the 3 pieces of data on your right-hand side just talks to the fair value adjustments, and there you can see a negative fair value adjustment on the development rights and the infrastructure cost. The next slide talks to our weighted average cap rates for the 4 different portfolios. You will notice that the cap rates were fairly constant between 16 and 17. We have seen a deterioration with regards to retail. Jackie has referred to the challenges on Newtown Junction and Brooklyn Mall, and their cap rates have moved with 25 basis points, hence weakening in cap rates from 6.88 to 6.94% on the retail portfolio. Okay, the next slide, it's always a busy slide, but it talks to our investments. The investments, I've mentioned it, it has reduced from 6.2 billion to 5.1 billion. Predominantly, if you look on the slide itself, the two bars on your right-hand side, Cyprus and Serbia, which we've exited. So if I can quickly talk to the investments from the left to the right. The first one is MAS, which is one of our key drivers. I have mentioned that we received 105 million dividend in the past year, and our effective interest in MAS is just below 31%. It sits on 30.57%. At Africa, that reduction in value is due to impairments, and then also due to the strengthening of the rand, so we have to convert from dollars into rand. So it has reduced from 877 to 776. You will notice that it's 100% funded by shareholders' loans, so the equity in AD Africa currently is a negative equity, hence our impairment of a shareholders' loan. And if you look at Ikecha, a similar situation with regards to Ikecha. We took some impairments, and then also we accounted for a loss from a Forex movement viewpoint. The PwC Tower loan, that's a loan that we've advanced to our co-owner in the PwC Tower building. So the co-owner is most of the partners of PwC. It's not all the partners. They had the option to take ownership in the building or not. And just from a structural viewpoint, so we as a TAC have obtained the funding from Nedbank for 100% of a building, and then in essence, we are on lending to our co-partner on the same terms and conditions when our net bank loan or funding. Nova Aventis, a huge reduction of close to 200 million in book value. Most of that 200 million we took on the chin as a impairment. The 198 million, more than 95% of those funds we have received in August. So we are close to being completely out of a Nova Aventis investment. If you look at the Grove Mall, we own 25%. That increase in value, it's on the back of a higher value for the underlying properties of a 163 to 184. As you know, we have exited our shareholding in Atterbury over time. With the listing, we had 25%. Then we've reduced to 10%. And during the course of last year, we've also sold for 10%. So the 177, it's zero equity. It's 100% loans that we have advanced to Atterbury. The one loan relates to the Newtown deal. There's a loan that relates to the Mall of Africa deal. And then there's an old legacy loan that refers to the Mauritius deal that we have to repay within the next 12 months. Artisan is the investment in the UK, where we have made the decision to exit. The Sanlam JVs is relating to land parcel 3 and 24, where we have created a JV company with a shareholding 80% Sanlam, 20% us. It's only 100% it's industrial land, and then there's a small portion for potential retail. Equitas is the JV that we have implemented with Equitas. We own 20% of the JV, and then Equitas owns the balance, and that's when we have sold our 8 industrial properties in the JV. We've decided to keep a stake in those properties. And then it's just the balance of our investments. I'm not going to talk to that. Okay, if we look at our interest-bearing debt, the gearing has improved, and that is a focus for us, especially with us moving into the REIT environment. The gearing has reduced or improved from close to 40%. As at the end of December, we were on 41.4%. So over the last 6 months, we've reduced it to 37.1%. And again, it refers to the proceeds we've received from Serbia and Cyprus. That was 1.4 billion rand, which we have brought back into the country, and then we've reduced our SA debt. Our weighted average cost of debt remained flat at 9.2%. And then you will notice that the percentage hedging increased, and that's due to the fact that we've reduced our debt, so the denominator is lower, hence the increase in the hedging. It's close to 91% of total facilities. And then back to Monet.
Thanks, Pat. Benefits below, is my mic on? Yeah. Below the bottom line. Property Point is part of our commitment to enterprise and supplier development, and it exposes qualifying SMEs with education and training initiatives that aims to develop strong and successful businesses. It's our fourth year that ATTAC supports the Columba leadership, and to date it has benefited 89 students as well as 9 educators. Since 2013, ATTAC has supported the Atterbury Trust, whom provide financial assistance for bursaries for underprivileged kids. ATTAC the Future aims to expose young leaders of tomorrow from the regions outside of Gauteng to the corporate world and career opportunities in the property industry. I think it's very positive to see that it's all ladies that has made it this year. The next clip is just going to give the view of Attack the Future, what their view was on us.
SAC is a good corporate citizen, and we invest in the development of young South Africans through education and training. The SAC the Future program aims to grow young South Africans by exposing them to big corporate structures and career opportunities typical to that.
I'm Zoe Goff. I'm from Rhenish Girls High School in Stellenbosch, and my plans after school are to study financial forensics and become a forensic chartered accountant.
I don't exactly know what I want to do after school. All I know that is that I have a love for numbers and finance, so any direction that, anything that points me in that direction, I would follow.
My name is Tessa Milan. I'm from Stellenbosch. I'm in grade 11 in Rhenish Girls High, and I would like to study engineering after school, preferably at Marties.
Ek sal graag na skool dink ek daaraan om regte te gaan swat. Ek is nog nie heeltemal seker wat ek wil doen nie, maar ek weet dat ek verseker deel van die korporatiewe wêreld wil word en eendag daar my merk sal wil maak.
After my matric, I just wanted to start a BCom, but I'm not sure. I also wanted an accounting.
My plans after school, well, I'd like to go into the commerce industry, so something like CA. But at the same time, I do change my mind now and then, and I consider the medical field.
The highlights of what I saw today was the tour of the PwC building. I found it very fascinating seeing all the engineering that went into it. It was lovely going up to the top, seeing the whole of Waterfall City.
This Waterfall City, it's like a city on its own. It's very environmentally friendly because if you come here, the first thing you see is all the trees.
My highlight was definitely touring the PwC building and seeing how structures are built up and learning more about property.
When we were going to a building, I was so nervous, but it was so wonderful.
My hoogtepunt van vandag was toe ons die PwC gebou gaan besoek het. Dit was regtig net vir my amazing om te sien hoe groot die gebou is en hoeveel beplanning in so 'n gebou ingaan. Ek het regtig verskriklik baie vandag geleer en ek het nooit daaraan gedink dat jy soveel goed in gedagte moet hou as jy so 'n groot gebou bou nie. Selfs soos die wind, soos die kleinste ding wat jy in aanmerking moet neem. En ja, na vandag sal ek definitief met ander oë na geboue kyk as ek verby so 'n groot verbouery.
Definitely. Attack doesn't only offer certain parts in the job. Like you can go in different directions.
Ek sal definitief na skool by 'n program soos Attack wil aansluit.
Definitely. I actually never thought property could be this interesting.
I would definitely be interested to work for Attack someday. Well, we got to see how relaxed the workspace is and how everyone doesn't really see the work as a load, rather as opportunity and as an honor to work here.
Definitely. I think this is a very innovative place. I love how green it is, the sustainability. I think it's definitely something that I would want to be a part of one day.
Funny enough, I would add a large waterfall. I think it would capture the essence of Waterfall City, but obviously a sustainable waterfall.
I would like to add more of a recreational area, maybe like soccer fields or tennis courts or something where you can go and relax and just take a breather.
If I had to change something or add something to Waterfall City, it would be to improve the transport system. I know Waterfall works on a basis where one could walk to work and back, but I'd like to add, for example, a transport system like a bus or a subway that could also assist workers to go to their workplace each day and back.
As ek iets sou kon verander, daar's nie iets spesifiek wat ek sal wil verander nie, want alles is klaar vir my so half indrukwekkend.
Thank you very much. In conclusion, I want to just say we're very excited about the future of our Attack. We believe definitely there's a lot of value that's not reflected in our current share price. If you look at our current share price, it's 22% below our adjusted NAV per share. If you took our adjusted NAV per share, that doesn't even include the 800 million reflecting of Mass. It excludes the potential pipeline, as I mentioned, of 240,000 square meters. It excludes any upside potential of increasing our bulk on Waterfall. And I do believe valuing Attack, you must do the sum of the parts. If we look at what the analysts have come out by using this methodology, they're getting to a value of about 20 to 23 rand a share. And I do think actually that's the price where we should be trading. We are busy with a number of initiatives and transactions, which we will communicate to the market in due course. The way forward, our strategic priorities is enhanced stakeholder communication, that's internally and externally, grow the waterfall development pipeline, and a conversion to a REIT. We want to create the value for our shareholders with a focused approach around our four value drivers and to meet our distribution target of 73 cents and to grow that by 20% for the next 3 years. Thank you very much. Any questions? Well, it's still subject to JSE approval. It's a process you need to go through. Hopefully, we will be able to meet all their requirements by the end of this financial year, 2018, and a conversion beginning 2019 financial year. 2019. Yeah. So there will be a dividend payable in the end of the 2018 financial year, payable in October, and then we will be a REIT from 1st of July 2018. Yes, Jane.
Just your African malls, the African assets, the impairment on those malls, what was sort of the main thing there? Is it higher vacancies? Is it pressure on rentals? Or is it the conversion from the local currencies to land?
I think there's a combination of those. Firstly, we used what happened in June is actually we had a what we call between the shareholders a top-up funding. So we did a proper external valuation. That valuation, obviously, there was some properties that came down in valuation. And then you also had the strengthening of the rand against the dollar, which also have a negative effect. But the valuations was impacted on the trading of some malls and then obviously vacancies. What is a problem, for example, in Ikeja, which is getting better, Nigeria, there was a liquidity issue where you couldn't actually get dollars, and subsequently that has improved a lot. So that's a little bit of a double-edged sword. So your retailers can't always get stock in because they don't have money, and therefore they can't actually sell. But when they do get stock, that normally moves off the, what do you call it, shelves very quickly.
Could you say what is the average vacancy in the African portfolio?
Is it in the presentation? I don't have the number with me now. Sorry. Page 21.
It's on page 57.
57.
Morning. Just one question on the tail of the portfolio. How big is the tail that you, and when you think you can get rid of it?
Just define the tail for me.
Well, I mean the assets you want to sell that are sitting in the portfolio.
What? I think the assets we've got in the tail, I think there's definitely, we're looking to, in the open market at the moment, we're looking to dispose, and it's not necessarily the tail. We also have sometimes mature assets, which we think we can use those proceeds better into new assets. Some of them is like Brooklyn Mall we're looking to dispose, and Newtown is one of the assets we're also looking to dispose. That tail is not long, but what I think, Alistair, what we need to get right is what we do is we assess each asset every year, or we're actually going to have it more frequently, and if we believe we can rather sell this asset and redeploy that capital to get better value, we will do it. So any asset, the asset managers has to motivate why we will have to keep the asset rather than not sell the asset.
And then just connected to that, what's sort of gone wrong with Newtown Junction that it hasn't really performed as you wanted it to?
I think hindsight is always the exact science. If you look at a retail, I think we should have done the retail smaller, or you should have gone much bigger with retail. I think what we as a strategy or one of the lessons we've learned is rather focus on more smaller convenient retail or bigger retail. So we prefer to be in the region from 0 to about 15 square meters, and then I would say 40,000 upwards is more the sweet spot in terms of retail. So if I had a magic wand, I think we should have done the retail a little bit smaller and more office, because the office demand is quite good. There is a lot of initiatives that is actually showing some fruit, but let's see in the time to come. Any other questions?
Yeah. You would extend, there was some possibility to already extend. What is the progress with that?
We are not doing any planning on an extension at this point in time. I do think what it gives us the flexibility. When a lot of these international brands want to enter South Africa, they normally want to be in the big shopping centers. When some of those brands do come to South Africa again, I think we as Mall of Africa are going to have a huge advantage where we will be able to cater for them immediately compared to our competitors that doesn't have that flexibility. It will be all demand driven. We won't build it unless we have sufficient demand for it. So I don't think we as a tech will do it if we don't have the demand. But it does give us the opportunity and the flexibility. We are currently, as Jackie has mentioned, a lot of our tenants we're right-sizing, and Johan Free and his team has done an excellent job. I must commend them on that. And we are excited about the new brands that's actually coming in. There is always, in any regional mall or any shopping center, paper is patient. You actually, when the mall start trading, there's a lot of things you realize, and you change those things around to just make the mall trading better. I think important for us is that the tenants trade well. If the tenants trade well, we also do well. So sustainability for us is very important in terms of our retail. And I would say any other tenants as well.
Do you think you can improve on your net profits next year? Because there's quite a difference between 2016 and 2017.
The net profits in terms of the company or? Yeah, we're driving towards it. I think a huge advantage for us at this point in time, if you look at our average cost of debt, it's about 9.2%. Any asset that you sell better than that, you actually get a kicker on your distributions. Because your interest saving is 9.2%, so by reducing debt, you actually can have a huge advantage. And then you also have the pipeline of new stuff coming on. So the question sometimes asks, how are we going to get that growth going forward? I think it's quite easy. It is with our pipeline. It's reducing debt and restructuring our debt also to interest-only facilities. Currently, a lot of our debt is amortizing loans, so effectively you're paying capital into the loans. There's two buyers. One of them, I would say, bought, Karine, what is the split? I don't know. The one lady bought one section, and the other buyer really bought the other. So you could say, just for percentages, like a 90 to 10%.
Tenants themselves or to now sell?
No, he actually he's looking for tenants himself. He's looking for tenants to put into the premises, yeah. It is a property owner called Raleigh. Raleigh, R-A-L-I. Any?
Yeah, this residential development at the bottom here, that's not a Baldwin or Century development or anything, is that what
you're saying? No, we own it, but most probably we will do a deal with the likes of a Century or Baldwin. It's 1,900 apartments, so that 1,900 apartments is not reflected in any of our numbers. So even our land valuation, the 1,900 is not in there. And I think that's the crux that a lot of people don't understand in terms of Waterfall. If you take the size and the magnitude of this development, there's a lot of upside to come. If you just take the CBD, this land area, to put it in context, it's the same as Sandton. We're planning to do about 1.2 million bulk meters here. Sandton, the same land area, is 4.5 million square meters. So now, if you take that effect in time to come, nobody takes into account in the numbers. And that's why I think looking at our land value and doing the sum of the parts is such an important thing, because you undervalue the company's value because you don't take the value of what is the potential sitting here. And if you go and look at a lot of our peers and competitors in the market, they need to go and look for stock and opportunities. We actually sit with the stock and opportunities right on our doorstep. It's in the middle of Gauteng, so there's a big advantage. The time frame is depending on the economy. I mean, if the economy is going as it is, there's zero growth, you're actually turning people. So you're actually taking from one landlord, putting it into your building. If the economy starts growing better, you actually will have much more growth. And that's why I say the economy sometimes plays to our benefit. It makes sense for some corporates to consolidate because it actually brings their costs down. And there's an advantage for us. But in time to come, this will completely be developed. Is it 10? Is it 12? I don't know. It's very difficult to say.
And it's the same with their frontage on the highway.
What we're trying to do is we're phasing it from the top here. So most of the service land is the land on the top here. So we want to phase the development towards the highway. And why we want to do it is twofold. Is really to not have a construction site for the next 10 to 12 years. And actually end up here, and the value of this will just improve as this is completed, because this is fantastic highway frontage down here. If we get obviously a big user like a Deloitte, we will consider. And what you also try from an urban design perspective is actually to have your bigger users on the outskirts and your smaller users more internally. That creates the much more work, live, and play type of environment. The bigger users normally have their own canteens and all of that that they put into their building, so they live more inwardly. The smaller users are walking more around to the shopping center, so that will create more activity around the mall. It's critical for us to bring in the residential. As I mentioned, we're doing the residential here, and then we are talking to do further residential there. So we want to increase our residential in the city to get the evening life going. But I think it is important to also look what is the infrastructure we're putting down. If you just go and look at what our bus stops looks like, if you go and look at our cycling lanes, if you go and look at our cycle lanes, cycling lanes and cycle lanes are the same, running tracks and all of that, there is definitely a big advantage for coming here. We've got CCTV cameras right over the whole of Waterfall City that is manned 24/7. So security is important for us, and you definitely have something completely different. We also have a benefit of having a body corporate that everyone has to belong to from day one. So you can control what is the quality of the city in time to come. We have an urban design committee. Any building that is built on this site needs to be approved by the urban design committee. So what do we look at? Is the building talking to the streets? Are the people easy to get from the building to the streets? How the building looks like? And all those things we take into account. And that is, the guys that sits on that committee is our urban design architect, and then internal people from the tech development team. Any further questions? Thank you very much.